In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
I invite you to sit back for a minute. It's story time. Mary of Egypt ran away from home at the age of 12, went to the great city of Alexandria, and like the prodigal son, Mary spent the next 17 years in loose living. Sins of the flesh, thievery, drunkenness, menial jobs solely to pay for that kind of life. When Mary was about 30 years old, she heard of a great festival in Jerusalem, seeing crowds of people getting on boats, and not one to pass up a good party, Mary joined them. Little did she know, little did she care, that the party she was heading to was the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross in Jerusalem, and the actual cross of Christ was going to be there. So when they arrived, Mary followed the crowds all the way to this church. And at the grand doors at the front of this church, she begins to enter. But it's there she feels a force. She feels something preventing her from entering. Three times she tries to enter. Three times she's prevented. It was at that moment that grace entered Mary's life in a unique and most profound way. She realized then and there on the porch of that church that the invisible force preventing her from entering, preventing her from experiencing true joy and true peace and true love, was nothing more than her own sin. And at that moment, Mary of Egypt repented. The grace of the Lord touched her heart. Above the door of the church was an icon of the Virgin Mary, a woman with the same name but a very different life. And Mary of Egypt asked for the intercessions of the Blessed Mother of God. And instead of the rejection that she expected to feel, Mary of Egypt experienced from the Lord's Mother a depth of compassion that she did not know existed. Shocked that compassion was available to the likes of her. And then Mary of Egypt was able to enter the church, and she venerated the wood of the cross. And Christ spoke to her in her heart, saying, "If you cross the Jordan, you will find rest." Mary received communion for the first time since childhood, crossed the River Jordan into the desert, where she lived for 47 years. 47 years in prayer, in repentance, and it was hard. It was not easy. Memories, temptations, loneliness, hunger, despair, anxiety. 17 years of that, and then it got better, and then it got better. Finally, rest came to her soul, and for the next 30 years, she lived in prayer and in peace until her death. Now, if she was alone, someone might ask, how do we know her story? How do we know all this? Well, about a year before Mary died, a monk named Zosimos went into the desert for Great Lent. And while there, he saw a figure in the distance. The figure was sort of human, but emaciated, thin, naked, sunburned, leathery, with his stark white hair. And Zosimos at first thought he was seeing a demon. He didn't even know it was human. So he crossed himself and approached the figure, who then called out, "I cannot face you, Father Zosimos, for I am a woman, and my clothes have long since turned to dust." And that figure was, of course, Mary. So Zosimos took off his cloak, threw it to her, and Mary took it as a cover. And when she was covered, Mary told Zosimos her story, told him her life of prayer and repentance, and asked Zosimos to bring her communion the next year on Holy Thursday. So the next year, Zosimos did so, and after communing Mary, she left him, went away into the desert, and there she died. And Zosimas was able to share her story with his fellow brothers and eventually the world. And Mary died there in the desert, having fallen asleep in the Lord as one of the greatest saints of the church. It's a beautiful, it's a powerful story. It's a story of grace. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of repentance, of conversion, of endurance, of faith. And it shows clearly Christ's words from today's gospel. The one who is forgiven much loves much. Now, sometimes people ask, they say, I get Mary's repentance. I love her courage and her dedication. But couldn't she have done more, maybe a lot more good if she had stayed around? Couldn't she have done something more helpful for both the church and non-believers by ministering to where people are? Maybe after a time of repentance, shouldn't she have come back? Now, I think that is a very good and insightful question. And therefore, it deserves a good and insightful answer. And the answer of the church is this: never underestimate the power of prayer. You know, sometimes visitors go to monasteries and they're told of the prayer life, the liturgical services, the private prayer of the monks or nuns that live there. And the visitor asks, yeah, but what do they do? And they're told, well, prayer is their main vocation. The vocation of a monk or a nun at a monastery, by and large, is to pray. And so the visitor gets a little internally agitated and asks, yeah, but what do they do? So maybe they're told, well, they also make icons, they also make candles or honey, or they do this and that tasks, and then the visitor relaxes and says, oh, okay, now I understand. But it betrays the thought that a life of prayer can only be justified if you do something practical. But Mary of Egypt's witness turns that logic on its head. Mary's witness is that prayer is the best do that we can do. To not understand Mary's life is to underestimate the power of prayer. Mary shows us that doing something practical does not justify prayer. Rather, prayer justifies doing the practical. The practical is nothing. The practical is nothing without prayer. Prayer is power. Prayer is God among us. Now think about those words. Prayer is God among us. That's all the justification it needs. Prayer is the Holy Spirit blowing in every dark place in this universe. Prayer is compassion and hope of Jesus Christ touching the lost. Prayer changes the world. Now, if we still think Mary of Egypt didn't do anything practical, consider this. It's 2019, 21st century, and Mary's prayer has changed millions of us, not only through time, but even this morning. All around the world this morning, 24 hours around the clock, Mary is impacting millions upon millions of people, being impacted by someone 1,500 years ago, of some kid from Egypt that never did anything but pray. Nobody's saying that we need to copy the details of Mary's life or run out into the desert, but we are saying as church is to see and to cling to the amazing and radical power of prayer. Because prayer can change the world. And if you still want something practical from our Blessed Mary of Egypt, consider another example she set. And for literally hundreds of millions of people, believers and non-believers alike throughout the world, she reminds us of this: you are never too gone for God's grace. You are never too broken in spirit that you can't be healed. You are always worthy of compassion. Amen.
Amen.